Hi and hello, football fans. I want to tell you about Wrangler. You know what? Better yet, I want Handsome Hank to tell you about Wrangler. Take it away there, Handsome.
Thanks, Dave. Something about Wrangler. Dave, whether you ride a bike, a bronc, I have questions for you about what a bronc is afterwards, remind me,
okay.
Or a skateboard, Wrangler jeans
I'm 0 for 3
are
there,
for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, all price points. Vintage re-releases, Dave. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
I don't know if that flies in the UK, but I found that a little passive. There was no urgency. I want the urgency.
Okay, let me read it. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world.
Start the show!
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to football season. I'm just going to say it. It's here now. I mean, we're basically into it. The first stringers are going to be playing in at least some of the preseason games awaiting our eyeballs this coming weekend. So I know how you are, wherever you are, here in Studio 66. We're ready to roll. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. And seated to my immediate left, back after a summer's worth of travels here, there, and everywhere, he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. And of late, we've been hearing some positive buzz about those Dolphins. Let's check in with them now, shall we? It's Handsome Hank. It's enough. That's enough. We get the idea.
We don't need that.
What do you think? I know we've talked about it before, but where do you come down on the buzz now that's gaining steam? Idris Elba. Elba to be the next James Bond.
I think that's cool. I think he'd make a fantastic James Bond. I'd watch that. But I think isn't the guy, is signed up for one more, right?
Daniel Craig?
Craig.
Oh, he is.
I think he's making one like almost now or later this year, which means that Idris Elba, if they do it every 2 years, something like that, every 2-3 years, would almost be approaching James Bond retirement age. He must be in his late 40s now.
That's what has ailed that epic run that James Bond movies have had, is that they got to Pierce Brosnan, not by a year or two, by a decade or 18 years too late.
Right.
He was old by then. They held on to Roger Moore way too long.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
more needed to go.
Well played.
Less.
Oh,
in fact.
Oh, I see.
Roger,
you didn't
less.
Pay it off, and there you did. Okay, very
Thank
good.
You.
Well done. You came around.
I was
on that
waiting
one.
For it, Dave.
And now that's how I feel about Idris Elba. Although the ladies love him. Hi, MVP behind the glass.
They do. He's handsome.
Is he a handsome man?
Yeah.
Or is it his English accent?
It's both.
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 Hmm.
I can't imagine handsome.
Is he a dime, Emma?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Before we get into it here and we start chopping up the world of pro football. Oh, and big news coming at you in just a little bit. We're going to play back where we were yesterday. We went up to Oxnard, California, we being Emma VP, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, and Erica Tamposi. Went up to Oxnard, visited Dallas Cowboys camp. It was a wonderful time. Glad-handed with some fancy pants media types. There was Kurt Menefee. There was Peter King, so on and so forth. I talked to a tenured guy, really knows, you know, he's been in a lot of draft rooms, a great scout. I don't even know what you call him, a personnel guy. Brian Brodus, now with the Cowboys organization and doing great stuff with video and stuff. He had some great insights on the Cowboys. So we'll dig in on all that. But before that, Emma VP and Spaghetti, you guys went out for a couple belts last night?
No, not last night.
Oh, well then why are you dropping this list in front of me?
Oh, because we thought it was funny.
Oh, okay.
We were going back and forth because we saw it online, and we thought it'd be a funny thing to bring up.
Oh, I see. So explain. So this is what exactly are Handsome and I looking at here?
So this is a list put out by USA Today of teen slang, like for parents, so they can understand what their kids are
talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I don't think they say cool anymore, Dave. I think they say woke.
Yeah.
They do say woke a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also, I've noticed an interesting thing. You know how like people you'll often hear refer to the Talking Heads or the Eagles. In both situations, it is just Talking Heads and it's just Eagles.
What, if you're so doing Eagles won the Super Bowl?
No, no, no. Not the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. I'm talking about Don Henley and Glenn Frey and company. That band is Eagles.
I'm
not
pretty
the
sure
Eagles.
There are no teens talking about the Eagles or even Eagles.
Touche.
But I think
but
I get
along
your point.
Those lines, I've noticed that people don't say that the young people don't say, "Wow, that is the bomb." It's just bomb. Is that right, MVB?
It's like when you say you're going on the Facebook, like you should, yeah. Like
right.
You shouldn't do that. Or the Snapchat.
Right. Like, yeah. Wow. This
you say you're going on Snapchat, Dave.
This list you just handed us is bomb, MVP. Like
yeah.
That.
Right. Straight fire.
So we're going to try to employ some of these words today, Handsome. Is that...
Yeah, I already did two, actually.
Oh, you
without
did?
Without anyone noticing.
All right. Don't be dripping, man. Don't be dripping.
No, let's not...
Don't you counsel me. I'll do it at my own pace. Thank you very much.
All right.
Anyhow, from Cowboys
camp. I
think
I'm going to curve your enthusiasm.
We loved Leighton Vander Esch from early spring on this year, so we caught up with Leighton Vander Esch. And the guy, I asked him at the draft. You'll hear all this in just a matter of minutes. But anyway, I asked him at the draft, the night he was taken, who's the Dallas Cowboy that you love most in the history of the organization? He said Sean Lee. I said, Sean Lee, of all the people you could name, he said, I can't wait to learn from him. He has a lot to teach. And I thought, you know, perhaps saccharine? No. I thought it was nice and sincere from him. So we talked to Leighton Vander Esch and his would-be idol, Sean Lee.
Isn't Leighton Vander Esch essentially a direct replacement for Sean Lee? I mean, Sean Lee has notably had injury concerns over the last two or three years of his career. They play the same position. Isn't in admiring him, he's going to replace him?
Well, that's, you know what, where they have an abundance. Talking to Brian Brodus, the aforementioned one who knows and is watching every second of every practice for these Cowboys, it has said that the revelation of camp, or one of the guys who's really splashing right now, is Jalen Smith. And he did look good, and he looked gigantic for what that's worth as well out there. I thought that was interesting. I mean, he was downright fleeky. Jalen Smith was fleeky, right? Is that good, MVP? Did I do that well?
Yeah, that was fresh.
Fresh is definitely
is there one for thanks? Like right on?
I don't think
that's... You just going to say Gucci.
Gooch, yeah.
That's Gooch.
Gooch, all right. That's Gucci. So, anyway, Handsome, you have been traveling the world over.
Yep.
And you just got back from, what was your latest trip? Spreading the good word about the game of pro football.
Spreading the good word about the game of pro football. I went to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Went to two places, a place called Sao Paulo. Mm-hmm. Beautiful
Heard
city.
Of it.
And thank you. Sorry, I don't know why. It's
bigger than Rio, right?
It is a big, big city. I think it's one of those sort of like top five largest in terms of volume of people.
What's the biggest? Let's see if we can name the five biggest cities on the face of the earth, Handsome.
Well, I think I've always said
Beijing,
Mexico City's up there.
New Delhi. I think two cities in India are up there. I think Sao Paulo. You're right. I think Beijing is in the running, and then I'll throw in Tokyo,
Karachi in Pakistan.
Karachi. In Pakistan. Wow, really?
Here, I do. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I have a list in front of me because let's not make fools of ourselves.
I don't think we did. I don't think I did.
Tokyo.
Didn't I just say Tokyo?
Jakarta.
Okay.
Manila. In the
Philippines.
Right. Yep. Delhi. You
said Delhi.
Seoul in South Korea.
Okay.
Beijing,
huh?
Beijing's number 8, it says here.
How many people? What's the biggest city in the world?
This is by population density, though.
Oh.
Well, that's not by size. What do you mean by size? You know, what when you talk about size, what are you talking about, Dave?
That's my business. In America, I find it interesting that New York City, for as long as I've walked the big blue marble, it's been New York 1, LA 2, Chicago 3. Do you know Houston is making a hard push to vault past Chicago and become our third largest city?
I didn't know that, but they've always been a little extra in Houston.
What did you think about Brazil? What do you do when you're there? Who do you talk to?
We were talking to
guy. Hey Pele, do you know about our guy, our kind of football? Like, do you have?
No, we talked to our broadcast partners there. So we spoke to ESPN, who broadcast our games in Brazil, and talked about what their plans are for the season. We talked to some other people that, you know, maybe in the future we'd like to work with. We'd love to take some events to Brazil to give the, you know, a lot of fans in Brazil, a lot of NFL fans in
Brazil. I'd make that trip.
And then I also managed to get
I'd make that trip.
To, Gucci.
Well, if you want an ambassador, I'm telling you.
All right, fam.
Look, don't curve me, man. Curve. Did you get that one, MVP?
Yeah, it was super good.
That went right over Handsome Hank's head. Curve is to reject someone's
I already
advances.
Used curve like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
In this very show.
All right.
Hondo P.
Man, you're dead A, man.
I think you can say the whole thing. I think they just... Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, let's not...
I just don't want to get extra here.
I just did that one as well.
Let's All right, well, so what? So it's off the it's off limits now because you used it?
Yes. Anyway, so I went to Rio as well, and that is a wonderful city too. Everything you you know, you always imagine what Rio would be like. It's that plus more.
Is it? Is it? Oh, man, savage. That sounds savage. And Eddie Spaghetti, you're no stranger to the world traveling yourself. You headed up the west coast of these United States, and what was the purpose of that?
I went to Seattle to see Pearl Jam play in Safeco Field.
But, really?
Yeah.
Two shows.
Wednesday
in Safeco.
Really?
Two shows outdoors in Safeco, Wednesday and Friday.
Whoa.
And it was spectacular.
Great. I was happy for him.
Great
a lot
trip.
Of people, I noticed a lot of people give him grief for being into Pearl Jam, but I think that's a product of our age when we mock that. When you're in your 20s, weren't you super intense about going to see shows and
see
stuff like that?
Show.
Yeah, I love seeing live music. I love other bands, but this is number one. And it was just for homelessness. They raised like $11 million.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
They did a great job. And I really wanted this just to see Seattle as a city.
And Kim Thayil made it out on stage,
yeah,
right?
Kim from Soundgarden and Mark Arm from Mudhoney and Green River came out.
And they played Search and Destroy.
They did, yeah. Search and Destroy, Sonic Reducer. They did a couple of the covers. It was awesome.
How did you get... Because Eddie, a lot of these bands surely were... you were a little too young for them, right? In their prime. How did you fall in love with
this
them?
This is my dad. My dad's a huge music... Okay. And my mom is too, but my dad had the record, like with the CDs and the... I was into like some I was in like the Chili Peppers and stuff, and one day he was just like, here, just take this album, like take Super Unknown from Soundgarden, and he gave me and then he's like, take 10 Verses in Vitalogy from Pearl Jam and listen to them, and then I was like, oh, this is the stuff.
Now
Good
I feel
you.
Old. This is your old man telling you, like, check
dad,
out this
yeah.
band Pearl Jam.
He's like, he had them, like we have tons of records and CDs and stuff.
Have you never given any thought to the fact that you could easily be Eddie's dad? Like, you're old enough, definitely, to be Eddie's father. I don't know why that surprises you.
That's a dream.
Dave is younger, way younger than my dad.
I may adopt. I might check into that, yeah. I might look into that. That'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun.
Haven't you got enough children already, Dave?
I do have a lot, but you know what? You know, that would be part of it. Like, hey, your first order of business. You
hey,
have
kids,
to watch
we've
the
got
another
one. There's another one.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Meet older brother Eddie. He's going to be your primary caregiver going forward. Like that. Emma VP, you also did some traveling. What did you do?
Yes, I went back home, and I spent the week down the Jersey Shore.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, the Atlantic or the Pacific?
Atlantic.
Why
really?
So?
Why? What's better?
The water is just way nice. It's like warmer.
It's warmer.
Chiller.
The water is water.
Yeah,
but we get better waves in.
Yeah,
Pacific.
But I'm not a surfer, so I'm cool.
You sure?
Let's go around the room here. Wind, place, show. Ocean, lake, pool.
Well, how about sea as well? Because what
well,
some
sea
things
is ocean.
Are you sure? Some things don't make it to
okay,
be an
ocean.
You
want
to
eliminate a sea, so we gotta. What,
but I want to know first of all why are some things oceans and some things are seas?
I don't know the answer to that. That's
well,
a great
maybe
question.
You could get on that.
Do you have any idea?
I don't.
Well, then how can you take that tone with me as though condescending to me as if it's something I should know? Go ahead. I'm going to start with you, Emma VP.
Well, when ocean.
Ocean one.
Place, lake, show, pool.
You have no time for the nice man-made, huh? Mm-hmm.
No All pool.
Right. Spaghetti?
Definitely ocean, win. I'm going to go pool. I don't trust lakes. I think lakes are, some like small lakes are dirty.
Yeah, I have questions about lakes.
I don't like that. Like I don't hang out in the Great Lakes, so it's like I just see like this little
They
you know,
get
little
snakes in them too.
They do. Yeah.
They do. And then you always read in the summer, maybe it doesn't happen so much here, but like people often drown at lakes.
Yeah.
They don't drown in the ocean so much, maybe because there's always lifeguards on duty and pools obviously, you know, the awful thing to happen, but
the salt water.
But a lake. Why do people like often go to lakes and then they drown?
Full of bacteria too, and just ugh, it's gross.
That's They're what very deep as well. Sometimes lakes are like terrifyingly deep.
Jason Voorhees, that's where that whole thing started. You know, I mean, I don't need any other anecdotes beyond that one.
So what's your, how do you?
Ocean One. There's nothing like it because as I've said a million times, and I'll say for the million and first now, is when you go into the sea, you jump into the ocean, when you, I mean, first of all, the frolic in that is the greatest. I mean, that's one of the top three activities that a human being can engage in.
It's the best.
Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my kids got back. They've been in the UK for 7 weeks. They got back on Friday night. We spent all day Saturday, all day Sunday at the beach. It's the best free entertainment you can get. You go to the beach. No wonder, you don't have to pay to get in the ocean. If try and find a pool in LA to get in, you got to pay money.
Let's see how much you love football. You can never watch football again, or you can never swim in any body of water, man-made or otherwise.
If I got myself, like, what size of bath would I be allowed to install
allowed to
in
bathe.
My home?
You're allowed to bathe.
Could I push the limits of what's considered a bath?
I'm gonna allow
like the size of this studio.
I'm gonna allow a hot tub.
I don't like hot tubs. Are
disgusting. Okay, well, I didn't know what you were getting.
They are the
then.
Worst things on earth. Like,
I don't know why you got to immediately try and trick the system here.
I love to swim.
Do you?
I really
so
do.
So goodbye football. Goodbye.
No,
pigskin.
But I love football too. It's a tough one. I mean, like, I feel very connected to water.
Well, what I love is,
water.
Well, that's right, where you were born on an island, you know?
It was all around me.
Yeah.
It's all I knew.
The thing is, I frolic in the sea to my heart's content and then some, but the best time is when you emerge from the sea, and then you smell your flesh for the next 24 hours, and it's just, you smell
it. Do you not wash?
Most
people, after they get out of the ocean, the first thing they do is...
I try to keep it on me as long as I can. I try not to wash that stuff off. I love the sea.
I agree. I love the sea as well, but I also like to shower after I've been in the ocean. I'll tell you what I really love, though, is I would love to have a swimming pool. I love swimming pools.
I really want a swimming pool badly
myself.
You
must have one at your mansion.
Hey, can you imagine in Southern California living out here and we don't have swimming pools?
I can't believe it. That's what I imagined for myself always. Like I would have a swim, you know, wake up and go for a dip.
Did you think growing up that there were more cowboys in America or more surfers?
Cowboys. By a long
way. A lot of cowboys.
Yeah, by a long way.
What do you think? Should we talk? Should we get to the Cowboys, Sean Lee and Leighton Vander Esch right now? MVP plus 1.5 people join in the conversation briefly, and one of them wears number 4, and the other one wears number 90.
Ooh.
Well, we don't hear Dak. Dak is talking off mic, and what happened there, Spaghetti, before people listen?
So we, in the middle of our interview, I guess practice is ending, and the star players are coming to
literally
the exit.
As I'm talking to Sean Lee about
it
about
that. And you were asking him who was the offensive leader, Dak came, directly right by our set, and there was just tons and tons of fans there. And I got to give the Cowboys credit, which pains me as a Giants fan, but they pulled in a large number of people to watch their training camp, and it was just very loud. And he was signing autographs for children. He and Erica Tamposi was yelling at him, and then you guys are talking about him, and he turned and was like, should I join? And
I know, he looked over like, should I join? I'm like, come over here. And he's like, I better not. Like, what? You can join us, Dak, but our pal Tank Lawrence did jump in for a couple minutes. So do you want to listen to that now?
I'd love to. I'm excited about this. You sold it.
Let's hear it then. We talk about all of it. Sean Lee, the cagey vet, and the bright-eyed rookie. Oh, one thing I will point out, too, especially for Pittsburgh-based football fans. I'm one of those myself, so I glad-handed with Sean Lee over that before we started talking properly. And his brother, Connor, was the kicker for Pitt when they knocked off Notre Dame in quadruple overtime. He made the game-winning kick. I brought that up with him. He had a great story about watching that in Washington, D.C. with his then-girlfriend, now-wife, and running up and down the streets to celebrate his older brother's success. That was a great story. How he almost went to Pitt, wound up at Penn State, and now here he is all these years later, a key member of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's listen to that and Boise State's own Leighton Vander Esch right now.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
All right, look at this. We're completing the circle here on the Dave Dameshek football program. Anybody who's been around for any amount of time will remember during the pre-draft process, we visited with Leighton Vander Esch,
and we gave him some tips how to comport himself on draft day. Then at the draft, he employed those draft tips, and now he is a member of the Dallas Cowboys. And he told me, seated in between Leighton and I, Sean Lee, Dallas Cowboys great. I asked Leighton, well, let me show you the clip here, Sean Lee. I think you're going to be very touched by that. I refer you to the monitor right there. I'm being told we don't have a monitor
Yeah,
but anyway, I'm embarrassed. But anyway, the point is, Sean, what he said is that the one Dallas Cowboy who he admired most in the history of America's team was Sean Lee. He couldn't wait to learn what Sean Lee had to teach him. How's that make you feel?
That means a lot. I mean, he has been an unbelievable guy coming in, and got to watch film of him when we drafted him. Unbelievable athlete. The way he moves, the way he knows the game already, but then to come in and work like he's worked, to know the defense like he knows, it's been incredible working with him already.
And how has it been? You dreamt of getting to work alongside Sean Lee in August. Now the dream has come true. What can you report back to us, Leighton?
Well, it's still kind of surreal, and I don't know if it's hit me yet, but I mean, it's everything I could ever ask for, and to finally be in the position now and to learn from a guy like Sean is I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better. You got everything. You have absolutely no excuses when you learn from a guy like him, because he knows it all, and he'll lead you in the right way.
I mean, Sean, let's be honest, it's a little brown nosy, but still, it's nice when it's directed at you, right?
Well, listen, this guy is the real deal, and so, like I said, with him, there's not too much to teach him. I mean, he's coming in, learning everything. There's a little brown nose to it, but when I was a rookie, I was a brown nose too. I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to be a great football player, and you have to be that way if you want to play right.
Have you guys talked about the fact that one of you has two first names but no last name, and the other one has no first name but three last names? And how does that sit with you? Leighton, you first.
Am I the one that has three last names?
I think you can figure it out.
Layton's the first name.
Kinda. It's fancy.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah. It's a fun thing.
I think I have a first name and two last names. So
I've learned as I got older, I don't overthink things like that.
You just
when it comes to football, try to keep things simple.
You got to focus.
I don't dive that deep in anything.
Speaking of focusing, you've had to refocus kind of on the way you tackle after a lifetime or two lifetimes worth of tackling one way. How have the coaches, or is it an individual thing where you guys have to take it upon yourself to basically relearn proper technique in the NFL with the new rules?
I think the coaches have done a great job teaching the role. The refs came in and did an unbelievable job teaching it. You know, it's going to be tough because we've used the helmet in a lot of ways to hit, and it's a violent game. We know if we have to keep our head up, and that's what we're working on in every single drill, keeping your head up, making sure you're using the face mask, not the top of your helmet. If you work on it over time, you ingrain it, and you're able to play with it.
Are you anticipating the teams, maybe based on what you've been watching or playing against over the years in the NFL, are you anticipating offenses philosophically maybe not running between the tackles and short yardage at the goal line and so on, and maybe having to throw or run off tackle more than we've seen over the decades in pro football?
You know, I would hope that the game doesn't change too much. And I don't think it will. I think finding a balance between keeping people safe but also playing this game the way it should be played, I think that's what this role is going to find. Hopefully they work on it and find that balance.
Leighton, we always see, anybody who watches Hard Knocks and beyond is aware that NFL rookies can be put through it a little bit. What have you had to do? What has Sean Lee or anyone else made you do against your will so far?
Well, I mean, in team meetings, we got to sing during the night, so that can be a little interesting and fun, but that really makes you get up there and test your vocal skills in front of everybody and see if you can do it. So I've had a rough couple goes at it personally.
Do you get to choose, or do they impose an artist on you?
That's your call. The song's probably the majority of it. If you get a good song, I mean, and you get going on it, they'll probably sing along with you, and then you'll eventually get clapped off. But if you start out rough, it's probably not going to end very good.
All right, go ahead. Would you lay on the team, I should say?
Sweet Caroline. You sang a good one last night.
Give Me One Reason.
Yeah, you were great with that.
I forgot who that was by. But I forgot the words like halfway through.
Yeah, he was doing great last night. Halfway through, forgot the
words. I think you could really ingratiate yourself to your teammates like Sean Lee if you would use your own words. Like, I love Sean Lee.
He'd get booed off.
Yeah, I'd get booed off quick. He would probably boo me off.
I'd boo him off stage. Listen, Well, you go up there, you better bring it. Bring your best, or you get booed pretty quick from the crowd.
Same question that I asked Leighton the night that he got drafted, and I really did think that was really cool stuff that he would invoke your name mm-hmm. in the history of Dallas Cowboys. But you've been around some big stars here, or in Big D there. I mean, really a star-laden team since you've been around. Mm-hmm. Who is the best? Who's the most talented Dallas Cowboys you've been out there with?
Oh, there's been so many talented guys. I'll just say this. The guy who inspired me the most when I got here was Jason Witten. The type of career he had, the leader he was, how he played on the field, never missed a game, unbelievable technician, and then he was gracious enough to pass his leadership down, what he did off the field. I mean, that's a guy we really is a role model, and we're going to miss him dearly.
Well, you know what? I'm curious about that with Witten gone, Dez gone, I mean, some prominent guys at minimum, who is filling that void in the locker room? Who's the leader on offense? I mean, I assume it's Sean on defense. Is that right, Leighton?
Yeah. I mean, I think Sean's taking the reins very well, and he's leading everybody, getting everybody together as a group, getting everybody playing together as one unit and as a team as a whole. So that's the exciting part about it, seeing the whole team come together and kind of lean on each other, because I don't think a lot of people expect that in the NFL, but I think our team is really special with the camaraderie we have and how tight we already are.
And Sean, Dak Prescott is standing about 8 feet away. Yeah. Even I could reach him with a football from here. I kid, because we're Pittsburgh guys. Sure. And you know that if you're born on the banks of the Three Rivers, you're gifted.
Yeah,
you know,
in your crib growing up.
Yeah. It's a cannon I have attached to my left shoulder here. I could obviously reach Dak. But Dak, is he now emerged as the – well, look, he wants to hear what you say here. Is Dak the offensive leader of 2018? Of the Dallas Cowboys offense?
There's no question. He is the leader. And oh, what's up, Deke?
Whoa! Oh, look what's who up? It is.
Speaking of a guy who stepped up, we're talking about leaders. This guy stepped up big time as a leader,
man,
for us.
Yeah, man, I tried to. I'm just learning from you and Ty, you know. It's hard, though. I'll tell you that. Yeah, well,
it's our old pal Tank Lawrence, one of our favorites in all the NFL. Hey, last time I saw Tank, we were in Dallas and we ate a gigantic steak together.
Oh, yeah. All right, dude. Yeah, right then.
It was great. Shout out to Nick and Sam's.
Hey, where are we on Zeke Elliott's nickname? Because Zeke, you know, likes the eating thing, he does that movement there.
What'd you say?
Tank said snacks is
I
a
said,
good...
No, I said crumbs.
Oh, crumbs. I said snacks. I'm sorry. Yeah, crumbs. Crumbs. Do we like crumbs for Elliott?
I go with crumbs. I don't know if he'll like
with
it.
The beer.
With the beer.
With
the beer. Crumbs. Yeah, I like that.
How do Oxnard steaks compare with the ones you get in Big D?
No comment. I mean, walk away on that
no
one.
No comment. I'm out of here. Hey, it really got serious.
There he goes. A fun guy, Tank
Great
Lawrence.
Guy.
And by the way, when people talk about how do you internalize that, or is that something that a schnook like me cares more about? That people, when people talk about the Dallas Cowboys, they talk about Dak Prescott and they talk about Zeke Elliott, and a lot of people say, "Well, let's see what the defense can do if they can have any kind of a." Do you guys internalize that? Does that bug you? Does it motivate you?
I think it motivates us, and I think if you look at our defense, we've improved the last 3 years, but we're not where we want to be. We want to be a championship defense that dominates week in and week out. And the key to doing that is taking that next step and getting more turnovers. I mean, we have the guys to do it. We have a lot of young guys in the secondary who are stepping up. We have the defensive line. This is the year we need to take that next step.
Is that kind of the mentality as you arrive here in the NFL, Leighton, that it seems to me in the 21st century, there are very few, if any, defenses that legitimately just smother the opponent and keep them to 6 points a game? It's now about turning the ball over and making a couple of plays over the course of 60 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think it's just getting everybody on the same page and everybody doing their job and coming together, knowing that we can count on the guy from our left to our right, being on the same page and just playing together, having that defensive chemistry that we need to have, and I think we're making huge strides right now in camp, and it's going to be fun to see what we can do this year.
And have you gone head to head with Zeke yet, or I'm sorry, Crumbs, I should say? Have you taken him on yet? Is he a different kind of runner from what you encountered in at Boise?
Yeah, I mean he's the full package. He can definitely run the ball and he can catch and he can definitely block in space. So he's an amazing athlete and a lot of credit to him. He's come a long ways over the years too, and I think he's gonna have a great year.
Let me ask you this, and this one may sit controversially with you guys. You are on nominally America's team. I feel like, you know, you guys already get that Thanksgiving game every year, which is so cool. Although, is it cool? Was that the first? How quickly, be honest, when you heard Dallas Cowboys, did you think, I got to work every Thanksgiving now?
Oh, I love it.
Is it good?
It's my favorite game of the year. There's something special about playing on Thanksgiving. It's tough because it's a quick turnaround. The game that's tough is we play the next Thursday night. So that's one of the toughest stretches for us because we play Sunday, Thursday, play the next Thursday. But to me, that's one of the greatest things playing for the Cowboys is being able to play on every Thanksgiving. All of America's watching. It's something that the tradition is about here. So I love it.
I guess that is cool. And plus, yeah, you guys are at home anyway. It's the road team that's got
that's
a little bit worse.
That's right.
But as far as that goes, do you think it's fair, Leighton? I'll start with you. Should the Cowboys just endlessly get to be America's team, or do we maybe have to think about giving the title to a different team every year? Whoever earns it, whoever amuses me the most, for instance.
I think we can leave that up to all the fans and America. So
it's my job then.
Yep.
If you're giving me that, I will take it very seriously.
We should not give it to him.
Well, Sean Lee, I think it's nice that he just offered it to me.
He served it up to you, didn't he?
Yeah, he just gave it to me, and I think everybody, it's being recorded here on our non-existent monitor and the cameras and everything else. So is it fun? Are you guys getting anxious to go up against the Philadelphia Eagles? Make the division more compelling to know that you have the Lombardi Trophy in the division, and then you have in the Giants, you have Saquon now and Odell, a whole bunch of star power going into 2018. Does it feel like this is going to be the most competitive division in 2018?
I've been around the NFC East long enough to know it's always competitive.
There's always
great players. Teams that maybe had a tough year the year before always tend to bounce back, and at any time you play a rival, it's a close game. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent, but we know going into the season it's always going to be a brawl playing those teams.
Have you taken a moment to do that? Don't jive, Leighton, but have you taken a moment to go like, wow, that's Zeke Elliott over there? Like, I know you swoon even for Sean Lee, but I mean, like, are you like, I can't believe I'm going to be playing against Odell Beckham this year. Have you taken a chance to appreciate that?
Well, I think it's just neat to finally live in the dream that I've been working towards my whole entire life, and to get to play against guys of those caliber and to play along with them. That's another thing. So it's really special, and like I said, it's pretty surreal. But then again, you got to throw that to the side, and you got to focus in every single snap and do your job.
Last question for you guys: who is? I mean, Sean's the more tenured guy, so he probably weighs in. You're Penn State. I don't like that because I'm from the banks of the Three Rivers, like we say. You should have really. I wish you would have been at Pitt, not at the other one. But anyway, that's one great rivalry. What's the best rivalry in the NFC East?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass it to the rookie.
What's he know?
He doesn't know it. That's too hard.
He might say, like, the Titans or something for all we know.
First thing. They're all great rivalries. And to me, I love going on the road into an NFC stadium and having that stadium wild and as a defensive guy trying to shut them up. So there's no better feeling than having a great game at an away stadium in the NFC East. But to say there's one greatest rivalry, that's hard to say.
Well, I will say this. One of the great defenders to watch over the last decade in pro football has been Sean Lee. We're cheering for you, not just because you're from Pittsburgh. Have a good and healthy season. And same to you, Leighton Vander Esch, as you start your dream of playing pro football. Man, we're happy for you. And it's fun to complete the circle, like I say, as I sweat into my eyeballs here. But it was great to meet you in the pre-draft. We were impressed by you when you walked in the room and got to talk to you for 20 minutes. And now we see you on the other side and excited to see what you do here.
Awesome.
And by the way, even with all these pro football guys, you're the biggest guy out there. It's crazy.
Yeah. Power forward, man.
Aside from the Baylor tight end.
Yeah, that's right.
That guy's the biggest.
Rico's the biggest.
Rico's the biggest, but you're a close second. Yeah,
that's true.
Anyway, go get him this year. America's team. For now, maybe. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
There you have it. Sean Lee was a delightful guy, I think, but neither one of them seemed to be as fascinated as I was. Isn't that interesting? The one guy has two first names, but no last name.
Hmm.
The other one has no first name, but three last names. Right?
That is interesting, yes.
I don't know why they didn't care about it. I don't know what they were doing.
I don't know what. Maybe they thought you were going to try and make a meme out of it or something.
Oh, make a meme out of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they were shook.
They probably shook a little.
They were just probably shook.
Yep.
I was going to try to use lean there, but that would
not the right.
Going to cross lean out. Yep. Don't try to use that one. This has been a fun kickback, though, I think. You know, it was a fun kickback in Oxnard, and this is another fun kickback
with you guys.
It
hey,
is.
You know what else is fun to do when you're kicking back? Listen to the broadcast because it's or get ready to listen to it. Subscribe to it now. Emma VP Behind the Glass there is launching the broadcast wherever you find your podcast. While you're out there doing that, make sure you check out Dave's of Thunder. Also back now. We have a very special episode that started this week. Make sure you check that one out.
And hey, let's you and I set up a podcast too. Since we're the only ones who don't have one here, you could get together.
I know. I'm just in the dust. Everyone else is taken off, and I'm just stuck back here.
You and me, you and me both. The thick cast, we could call
it. Exactly. Perfect. Two C's.
Two C's.
Handsome, what do so let's talk Cowboys for just a moment, shall we? What do you, where do you think they come down? Brass tacks. Philadelphia Eagles, like I mentioned, defending champs.
Right.
They already knew about that. Yeah.
And the
down.
Giants aren't making the playoffs. As
I have said,
predicted.
Oh, yeah, Spaghetti. How much did that disrupt your Pearl Jam shows? Your trip up to Seattle when you heard about Saquon's knee?
I watched the game and I was screaming at the TV during a preseason game, like every time he was touched, like just get off him, just get off him, especially after what obviously happened to Darius Geis. I don't know if he's actually injured. I think it's maybe them just being extra careful and saying, just please, like, just sit out the rest of the preseason. We'll get you nice and healthy for the start of the season. Like, I'm sure he's fine. The guy's in phenomenal shape. He does not need the reps at all. So I think it's just a precaution thing. I don't think he's actually injured.
You know, if you're a newcomer to watching pro football, if you've only been watching for a few years, there was not what used to happen. Really, through my childhood, at least, it seems like. I'm trying to think of when that phenomenon really kicked in, where if you were drafted high in the first round, it was almost a given that you weren't going to be in camp because you were going to hold out with contract negotiations, and they fell like dominoes. So the first overall had to sign to determine what the market was, and then things would fall into place after that.
Exactly.
But there would be, I mean, those protracted holdouts, they would go the entire training camp for first round draft picks, and of course quarterbacks don't overcome that and walk out and dominate in week one, but running backs, there is evidence. I can't think off the top of my head of even one example. Nevertheless, that is what would happen. Guys would never make trade. Well, he's a rookie, how's he gonna go? And then they'd be like, let's put him in week one, and he would be terrific. I'm with you on that. I say that over and over again. Anybody who is of great value, who is a key piece for you in the regular season, I just don't see. Maybe you got to roll the dice a little bit, get him out there for a series or two. But after that,
one series, like
hold your breath, and then that's the end of it, right? Yep. Anyhow, so you got the Eagles, you got the Giants, who at least appear to be on paper. They're one of those teams. They are, in fact, a paper champion based on talent.
But you've already said they're not going to the playoffs.
I'm just saying they look awfully good, and I get why people
are. But how can you say they look awfully good, but they were the very first team?
I'm saying the names on the piece of paper look awfully good. I don't know what Pat Shurmur's going to do. I don't know that those pieces are going to gel together. I do know that the Eagles are going to be a great team once again. I don't see a significant drop-off there. I think that they probably win the division. I'm going to say that the Cowboys get past the Giants, and they finish as a wild card and make a very close run to a playoff spot. I'm not sure yet if they actually get into January, but I think this is going to be a good team. They are the again, I keep bringing them up because I should defer to Cowboys insider like Brian Brodus. The concern, according to him, is at defensive tackle. Otherwise, the defense should be good. I mean, it has, you know, keep in mind the between Randy Gregory coming back now. Let's see if he can do what his talent his talent says he's capable of doing. Plus, they're really deep at linebacker, and the Jalen Smith story is
A cool one.
Great story, and they're young on the back end, but not untalented. They could be halfway decent, as we've seen. Rod Marinelli has turned out some pretty good defenses with fewer good pieces than what he's got in 2018. And of course, now that comes the next question is: so what do they do? Who's Dak throwing to? That's the
Also is Dak who we saw in his rookie season, or as he came back to earth a little bit last year. How good can Dak actually be?
And?
I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to find out. He's not exactly helped by the lack of receivers that they have, so that's gonna hold him back to some extent.
All right, give
but
it to
me. But he's got Zeke. I'm going to say 8-8.
8-8?
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. Is that enough to save Jason Garrett's job? I would say no.
That's a great question.
I think that I think this is the year that Garrett has to take them.
Well, I mean, I keep pointing it out, but he is
season on, season off, really. I mean, one good season, one bad one, up and down.
Well, exactly. He saves his job every other year, but
well, last year was not a terrible one, but
not a good one.
Yeah. So this is a year that I think he'd have to, and I'm curious about some of the names out there. I obviously know nothing about what's going on with Urban Meyer up in Ohio State, but what if a name like that was suddenly freed up?
I don't know if that's the name. But I mean, it's not, I think we.
You think that's impossible, Spaghetti?
I think the Cowboys are not going to hire a guy whose name has just been besmirched. They're going to go for a big. They're going to go for an NFL level name. They're going to go to college ranks. I don't see that happening.
Okay, just throwing out.
It's not a bad idea. I understand where you're going at. If a name coach is free,
I also think that the window's closing on the Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor experiment. No matter how good they are this year. And in fact, maybe if they're really good, that'll accelerate things for him. Like, all right, I conquered college now. I'm back to the NFL. No?
No.
I think he's pretty safe there, too.
I think he's safe there. I think he has a job for life, though.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been very good, but I don't think they're going to fire him.
I don't have that ego. If you gave me a choice, hey, what would you rather do? Would you rather be on Sunday night or Monday night football up in the broadcast booth, or would you rather be head coaching these guys with that pressure? It's weird that so many guys go and want the pressure of that. Be like, no, I'd just rather sit there and talk about everybody. So I don't know what's in the head of Jim Harbaugh.
I don't think he's an analyst type of guy.
No.
My point being that, yes, college, well, yeah, you get to be there for the rest of your life. That's great. Like, yeah, that doesn't maybe satiate his competitive desire to win in the NFL.
Oh, I think it does. I think it's a great situation. It's his school. I think it absolutely does.
All right. You know what? I like this. We got to figure out some sort of non-monetary wager on that.
How about
a year from
the
now,
rest of your fingers? Whatever's left in a couple weeks' time.
Other appendages we're going with.
Toes, not the nose, Dave.
No. Don't, I'm not trying to. Don't. Well, see, I'm looking for one here. Don't throw shade.
Again.
We did that one already?
Yeah, we did it.
All right. That little conversation was
the same one again.
I know, but it was. I just want to make it clear. That was not based on any real knowledge, any insight that I have. That was just tea. T-E-A.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
That's gossip.
Gossip.
Be good, Dave. Be good.
I think we did really good here. Do you think so?
Yeah.
Are you back there trying to...
It's a little unnatural, but...
TBH, it was pretty lit.
Are you going to KMS? Oh, Spaghetti sounds ready to KMS.
I don't know what that one is.
I actually got made fun of by our group when we talked about this list because I do use them in regular conversation or text conversation.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I think it's a New York thing. I think a lot of slang originates there and a lot of city kids use it.
Yep.
Like, it's not like it's regular English.
And then other people hit a lick and the next thing you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's
true. Yeah,
I like it when the show gets wig. You know, I like when the show gets V wig. That's me. Got to be ready to handle it though. All right,
okay.
Listen. I think we've done more than enough
we have
here
as well.
Today. We'll be back
more
with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later in the week. Until then, for Sean Lee, Leighton Vander Esch, Tank Lawrence, kind of Dak Prescott, but not really. Eddie Spaghetti, MVP.
What am I? Chopped liver.
I'm saving you for last, friend.
Thanks.
And handsome Hank Hodgson. We'll talk to you later on. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.